Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Wednesday, September 14, 2016. And that means it is the finals of the WWE Cruiserweight Classic. And who better to discuss that than Zach Zimmerman, who has been covering the Cruiserweight Classic from start to finish. He actually attended the first taping that they had down at Full Sail University. And Zach, you are making the trek down there for the semifinals and finals that will be broadcast live on WWE Network tonight.
Yeah, as people are listening to this, I'll probably be either on my plane or on my way to Full Sail. So it's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, in the interest of full disclosure, we were recording this on Tuesday just because of Zach's travel schedule. And so if they've announced anything and we don't cover it, well, you know why. But this will be going up on Wednesday for everybody. Just wanted to get Zach's thoughts. And I also want to admit, I'm behind. I get to spend Tuesday evening before and after SmackDown catching up on all things Cruiserweight Classic. Not that I have the whole thing to go. I'll have to check. I'm not sure. Maybe 3-4 episodes to go. So I'm a little behind on things, so I'm deferring to Zach on this. But I'll be all caught up when I give you guys live coverage of the Cruiserweight Classic with Zach in the building. I'll be doing the live coverage of the Classic on Wednesday night. So join us. It is a two-hour special. And let's start there. I mean, we know what the semifinal matches are. We'll get to those. We'll certainly preview those. But how do you expect them to fill 2 hours with, right now, just three advertised matches?
Well, I mean, I think those three advertised matches are probably going to get a pretty decent amount of time. I'd imagine each of the two semifinal matches will get, you know, minimum of at least 10 minutes, probably more like 12 to 15. And then you have the final, which, you know, depending on how hard they work in the semifinals, the final match could go anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes. So I think right there you're going to have, you know, a solid amount of time in the ring. I think you're going to have the big, you know, trophy presentation and all the ceremony and stuff like that, which in the video packages, which eat up a solid amount of time. And then on NXT this past week, they also did a little backstage skit with Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa and talked about how, you know, they've both been kind of hurt, but they're both on the mend and they're on their way back. They're both going to be cleared. And so they're going to have some sort of tag team opportunity on the Cruiserweight Classic show. They didn't really specify what that would be, but I'd imagine between those four matches and all the, you know, the ceremony around it, that'll probably fill pretty close to the 2 hours. Maybe they'll get one other match on there to showcase some of the runners-up or something, but yeah, I'd expect that'll probably fill the good 2 hours.
They got to have Cedric Alexander back, right? I mean, he was the guy who had the hot match with Kota Ibushi, got the handshake from Triple H. I guess I wouldn't be surprised if he popped up if they do have additional matches.
Yeah, I mean, there's a handful of guys that you know, either we can talk about now or wait to get into, but that are either, you know, imminently going to be signed by WWE, have been signed by WWE, or, you know, some of them, of course, are already working at the Performance Center. But, yeah, we'll see a lot of them brought back. But a guy like Cedric Alexander, you know, Rich Swann, who's another guy who's under contract, seeing guys like that, it wouldn't totally surprise me.
Brian Kendrick?
Yeah, seeing Brian Kendrick back, especially after his performance. My God, how good was he throughout this Cruiserweight Classic?
Yeah, before we get into your predictions on the semifinals and finals, I do want to ask about just the overall Final Four. I mean, I think everyone expected Kota Ibushi to be there, Zack Sabre Jr. to be there. You know, I don't know as much about Grand Metalik. Maybe people did or didn't. I'm not quite sure if he was a favorite. Are he and TJ Perkins mild surprises to you at all?
Grand Metalik is one of the guys I had predicted going into my Final Four. I love the guy. I mean, his work is Mascara Dorada in CMLL and in AAA. I'm sorry, not AAA. New Japan. He signed a one-year contract with New Japan from beginning of 2014 to beginning of 2015 to the beginning of 2016. That contract expired, and he went back full-time to CMLL. He really grew. He didn't get a chance to do a lot during his time in Japan, but I think it was really good for him, particularly coming into WWE, because we've seen so many of the Lucha guys have such a problem converting in styles to the American style. I think right now, especially with kind of the influx of Japanese talent and talent who have been successful in Japan, there's really kind of an influx of the Japanese style into the American style. They're very similar. So I think a Lucha guy having experience working in Japan makes him a really good, or potentially a really good fit for WWE. And he's somebody who, yeah, I had pegged for the Final Four, or at least Final Eight, from the onset. Now, he's another guy who I didn't think he was going to at the beginning, but he's another guy who's made it pretty publicly clear that he is someone who's going to be going full-time to WWE in the near future. I think he's got one more, I don't know if it's one more, but this Friday night he'll be wrestling at Arena Mexico against Barbaro Cavernario, the caveman. And after that, I think he's probably coming into WWE full-time, but I'm not sure when he wraps up in Mexico.
How about TJ Perkins? Is it a surprise to see him in the Final Four?
This is where I'm going to... I have a hard time staying objective. I don't particularly enjoy TJ Perkins' work, or just kind of the way he carries himself, you know, publicly on Twitter or in the ring. Just, I'm not a huge fan. He's a very talented guy. He's not a guy who I had pegged going to the Final Four, but he's not out of place in the Final Four, I'll say that.
Well, tell me about that. What is it about him, on, you know, wrestling-wise, it's all subjective, but as far as how he handles himself, you said, publicly and whatnot.
I mean, he's just somebody who I've had to unfollow on Twitter. It's just a real sense of arrogance that's kind of not super appealing, and I don't know, I don't want to get into it too deep. He's just, he's just, again, the way he carries himself is not particularly endearing. And then, you know, you have him in the Cruiserweight Classic videos just talking about, you know, I like to think of myself as a representative for my generation. And it's like, generationally, I'm close enough to this guy, and I don't want him representing my generation. And then in the ring, it's like, everything he does, and to an extent, this is cool, but everything he does is, like, super flashy and innovative, which is cool when it's, like, your main moves and stuff, but when it's every single move, it's kind of just like, all right, buddy, like, you know, we kind of get it. I don't know. I mean, you got some exposure to him during his work as Mannequin in TNA. What did you think
absolutely.
Of him in the ring? Do you enjoy him?
Well, it was so hard with him as Mannequin Suicide. It was just like, you know, it's just this kiddie act that they were doing, and I didn't really get a great feel for what he was all about. I mean, it's the TNA X division, and basically, he's perfect for it in the sense that that's what they want. They just want a bunch of spots. They don't even tell stories about their talents. It's just go out there and do a, you know, six-way train wreck match for every pay-per-view opener we ever have. I mean, that's the X division, and so he fit in there, but I know what you're saying now. You know, just it does make sense that he can slow things down. I mean, is that, now he is on the Cruiserweight roster as far as Raw is concerned. Is this something you expect to be an issue with him once he starts in WWE, where they're really going to try to tone some of that down?
That's something that I almost have a hard time commenting on TJP specifically, because that's a question that I'm asking about this whole Cruiserweight division in general. Is it something that they're going to neuter? Is it something that they're going to make everybody slow down, stop doing their big moves, conform to a style? Because if that's the case, then yeah, all these guys are going to have problems and the Cruiserweight division will flop. You know, is it something that, you know, will be... he's not a guy who, like, he doesn't just work too fast. You know, like a Dolph Ziggler, where, like, the guy works at frenetic pace, it's just too fast. It's not like that. He just, like, there's so many moves that are just, like, hard to... I don't even know that what I'm particularly complaining about. I guess it's just, like, in the building of a match. I like to see just, like, you know, a suplex and just some basic stuff, whereas everything from him is, like, a fireman's carry, twisting, double chicken wing, this and that, and it gets to be a bit much. It helps him stand out, and some people will like it, but it is what it is.
Well, he is working Kota Ibushi in one of the semifinal matches. Tell me about what to expect from that match, both in terms of in-ring quality, you know, will those styles mesh, and obviously, who you expect to go over.
Who I expect to go over totally depends on what Kota Ibushi's future holds.
Yeah.
He's a guy who's, like, very whimsical in the sense of, like, he doesn't really ever seem to want to commit to one place. You know, even when he was seeming sort of full-time with New Japan, he was still under dual contract with DDT. And, you know, he continues to work freelance in Japan. And I think he likes that. He like he says in this Cruiserweight Classic promo, he likes to entertain people with his wrestling around the world. And is that something where is he ready to come into WWE? Is he going to want to continue to be kind of a freelancer? That remains to be seen. They've done a very good job of keeping that quiet. So it's something where, you know...
Yeah, what's your gut tell you on that?
I have absolutely no clue, and I hate to cop out, but they've done such a good job of keeping it quiet. You know, we're like Grand Metalik, you kind of know he's signed, and so you expect him to probably go to the finals. Kota Ibushi is somebody where there's really no indication one way or the other. Selfishly, I hope so, because I think the guy is fantastic and I want to see him on my TV every week. But also, if for the guy's happiness and creative fulfillment, if he wants to be able to go wrestle Yoshihiko the blow-up doll one night and then wrestle an MMA-style, you know, work shoot something the next night, you know, who's to say? I can't be the judge of that, or, you know, I don't really know. So I think that's really the thing, is if he's signed, I think he's going to go over. If not, I think TJP, who's, you know, as you mentioned, is a roster guy now, or is going to be, I expect him to go over. But either way, I think their match will definitely, their styles will definitely mesh. Kota Ibushi is just too good for it not to. And TJP has some experience working in Japan, so not that that's a requirement to have a good match with Ibushi, but it definitely helps to be able to communicate and know the style and that kind of thing.
Is there something to be said? Let's just work with the idea that Ibushi has not signed, does not intend to sign with WWE. Mm-hmm. Is there something to be said for, if you don't intend to have Perkins win the tournament, to have Ibushi go to the finals so that whoever does win the tournament is beating the more notable wrestler?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's something to that. At that point, it's just a matter of, do you want to put Ibushi over, you know, where are you going to slot TJP on the main roster? Do you want Ibushi going over a contracted guy if he's not contracted? It's kind of tricky. But at this point, I mean, there's no real paradigm for this. I mean, this has never been done before. This kind of talent has never really been brought in and featured before. So who's to say what they will or will not do? I mean, this is kind of an unprecedented time across, you know, PWC, NXT, that whole thing. It's really difficult to make any, like, firm predictions.
Well, and I remember in the last conference call that Triple H did, and I was actually hoping we'd get another one for the Cruiserweight Classic Final, but no sign of that. I believe he was asked about would they use someone who was a free agent on Raw. I think the idea was basically, would he use Kota Ibushi if he doesn't sign with the company, and it's part of their division. And if memory serves, he made it seem like, no, you know, they want those guys to be contracted. Now, you know, obviously plans can change, and you know, it's interesting because it is very hard to tell. Is Kota Ibushi bluffing? Is that part of the plan here to keep it a little bit of mystery as far as does he win this tournament, or is he being 100% sincere in saying that, you know, he's not signed, and just the whole idea that he wants to be a free agent, that sort of thing. So it is hard. I don't blame you for copping out on that one. For what it's worth, I'm going to go with Ibushi to win, simply because of that whole thing. Now, I mean, if they plan to have TJ Perkins go over, I think that's the only way he wins here, because I would want either Grand Metalik or Zack Sabre Jr. to beat Kota Ibushi in the finals. Even though TJ is a contracted guy, I think it's safe. You know, I think it's okay. Kota Ibushi is a very talented guy. It's on the network, too, so it's not like your entire Raw audience is seeing TJ Perkins lose to a guy who's not under contract. But the other semifinal.
I want to say real quick, though, is that they've done a lot of these little promo videos. Before, you know, they do one before for each of the talents before every match. The only one that I have watched and thought, holy crap, this is the guy that they're going to have win the tournament, that was TJP this past week. There's just something about his video package, the way they I remember there was one specific segment of, I don't even think there was audio to it. It was just like visuals. And at that moment, it's like, oh, crap, they might have TJP win this thing. So, he might be kind of like my dark horse pick.
All right, well, and then the other semifinal is Zack Sabre Jr., Grand Metalik. Take us through the styles and of course, the prediction.
This one should be a lot of fun. I mean, I could see a match incorporating three very unique, very distinct styles, because these two are very talented in their own rights. Zack Sabre in kind of the technical British European style of wrestling, and Grand Metalik in Lucha Libre. And then, of course, they both spent pretty extensive time in Japan, so that's kind of where they come together. So I expect that they'll probably mesh really nicely. I'm very much looking forward to this one. Probably be a nice mix of high flying, of submissions, of just all sorts of great stuff. Some strong strikes. I really expect this to be a standout match.
What is Sabre's status as far as the Cruiserweight division is concerned?
I don't think they featured him in any of the videos on Raw. And to the best of my knowledge, he's not somebody that it's really gotten out that he is signed or coming into Raw full-time. So with that, I'm under the impression that he's not. Especially because a lot of the guys who are doing the whole Cruiserweight thing are kind of putting out there that, you know, they're wrapping up their indie dates and that sort of thing, that, you know, see him while you can. This is the last month. Most of them wrapping up by middle end of September. Guys like Noam Dar and Grand Metalik and people like that. And so I don't think he's a guy who's really putting that thing out there. So as far as I know, I don't think he's signed.
So is that a good indicator to you that Grand Metal Week goes over?
I think so. I think with the mask, the marketability, just like I said, the guy's crossover ability with Lucha Libre and different styles, I expect Grand Metal Week to, you know, I'm kind of going out on a limb, honestly, because a lot of luchadors are expected to be big stars and then have kind of flopped, but I expect Grand Metal Week to find some real success, and I think he'll be somebody that they want to showcase, and so I expect him to make it to the finals.
Now, before we get into your prediction on the finals itself, do you expect this to be for a Cruiserweight Championship? I mean, obviously the division starts Monday on Raw, and Hunter was kind of, you know, basically saying you'll have to watch in order to see how this plays out as far as whether it's for a championship. We've seen the Cruiserweight Classic Trophy, of course, but there's been no official announcement there's been no official announcement yet about a championship, mm-hmm. and I mean, you can't go back and do another tournament for the championship, can you?
No, and I was just saying blah to the trophy because that trophy is just super blah. It's 4 posts holding up a globe, and on the bottom it's got the CWC logo. Like, that's just very unoriginal. It's not good.
But isn't it about who made it more than it is, what it looks like? Wasn't that kind of the appeal for them?
Oh, those guys with the motorcycle show from 2003? Yeah. No, that's a real big deal. But, I mean, the whole thing was like, I thought this whole thing was to crown a champion. And they're saying who will be the first Cruiserweight Classic champion. You know, as a matter of fact, I just looked down at my phone. I got an email notification from WWE, a new, you know, email alert or whatever. And the subheading is, who will be the first Cruiserweight Classic champion? So it really looks like the guy's just going to get a trophy and he'll be the winner of the tournament. The way I would have done it, of course, would be to have, you know, the winner is given a belt and becomes a champion and then a showcase on Raw next week as the guy who won the Cruiserweight Classic and therefore the Cruiserweight champion. Whether they're going to work it into some sort of seeding and include guys in the main roster, include guys who maybe weren't in the tournament, like a Hideo Itami, I guess it remains to be seen.
Now, I'm with you in going Grand Metal League to win based on the whole contract issue. I think that makes the most sense as far as him winning a semifinal match. For you, that brings it to Grand Metal League and TJ Perkins in the finals. And it sounds like you're leaning Grand Metal League with, again, the dark horse possibility of TJP, just because of what you saw, you know, what you took away from his video package.
Yeah, I mean, if it's okay for me to somehow predict 3 winners, yeah. TJP is my dark horse. Grand Metal League is the guy to go over just because of his look and his marketability and all that. Is my pick anyway. But all the caveat to all of this is that if Kota Ibushi is signed to coming in full time, no question in my mind, you have him win it, and he is the showcase centerpiece star of that division.
Absolutely, and I just, if you are right, and it's Grand Metal League and TJ Perkins in the finals, Zach, how badly do you want a third place match between Kota Ibushi and Zack Sabre Jr.?
Oh God, yes, please.
It's been 32 men in the tournament. Triple H indicating that yes, they do want to do this again. We don't know what the title situation is again. If they're going to crown this the winner of the actual tournament as the new Cruiserweight champion heading into Monday, the only thing I can think of is that, if they don't, is that they want the entire Raw audience to see that moment somehow. I don't know why else you wouldn't, but we'll see what they have in mind for that. Let's just look ahead here briefly to the Cruiserweight division itself. I mean, I think my two biggest fears are, one, that you're going to see someone like Big Show choke-slamming Cruiserweights left and right. The other one is that, well, it's very TNA-like, where let's have a bunch of 6-way spot fests that Raw could use some high-flying action, and they kind of move away from what has worked so well for the Cruiserweight Classic. I don't have a strong fear, but I think that's really everyone's fear, just knowing their history. How likely is it, in your mind, that, no, things stay the same? You know, they keep the Cruiserweights away from the heavyweights by and large, and they just kind of take the approach that they have with the Cruiserweight Classic so far once they move to the main stage?
I mean, I'm hoping and I'm praying. Being realistic, I think to a certain extent, at least it's going to be just kind of sanded down a little bit. You know, we saw, let me just think of an example. Like, okay, like the Metal League driver that Grand Metal League won in the opening round. The fireman's carry into the Michinoku driver. There's a way he can do that he's been doing it lately, where the guy comes down on his back and it's safe. that first one, he dropped the guy right on his neck and shoulders, like he did in Japan, like he does everywhere else. There was a week or two ago, Brian Kendrick did a burning hammer, and it was just like the gnarliest burning hammer ever, dropped the guy right on top of his head. And stuff like that, I really don't think, I think they're going to kind of round that stuff off and kind of limit that. But I really hope that they let guys maintain their styles, at least, and maintain the basis of who they are, and that it is a division that is kind of built around the diversity of styles and things like that, because that's where the success in the division is. It's not in them being small, flip-flop guys who, you know, Big Show choke slams, like you said. It's about, you know, almost like an early UFC thing, like seeing these styles clashes, seeing, Zack Sabre Jr., the technical wizard against strong style Kota Ibushi or against Lucha Libre Gran Metalik. I mean, that's the allure of it. So I really want that to be what they focus on.
I really hope this goes well. Not just, obviously the tournament finals. I don't know that the tournament finals could go poorly. It's just there's so much talent involved there. But on the main roster, it's just, the taste of Vince McMahon and hoping that he and Kevin Dunn either get it or stay the hell out of the way. I'm really looking forward to it. I think SmackDown actually could use the Cruiserweights more than Raw could, but that's another story for another day. Zach, you're going to be in attendance, and I think, isn't this actually kind of, are they pulling a TNA Impact or even a Raw in London where it's same-day tape delay? They're billing it as live, but boy, it's an early start time.
Ooh, I'm actually not sure of that. I should be, but I'm more worried about my flights and getting in there and stuff. Why? What time is it listed as a start time in the arena?
I am going to look it up right now. I just know that Brian Fritz was saying, he was telling me that it looked like it was starting early. No, you know what? I don't know if Fritz saw something early. I'm looking at it now on the NXT ticket page, and it's listed as a 8:30 Eastern start, which would be perfect. I think he told me 5:30 at one point, so I don't know if they changed it or if he just read something wrong.
I think Fritz, I bought my tickets back when I was at the opening round taping. I bought my tickets for the finals, and I'm pretty sure they say 8:30 printed on them, so... Yeah, I think that's it.
Perfect.
And then I will be at the NXT tapings the next night, so I'll have results for you and everybody then.
Awesome. Yeah, and people can certainly follow along tomorrow then. I was going to warn people, like, you might not want to follow Zach on Twitter tomorrow, but now that we know, it looks like everything's going to be live. No same-day tape delay type thing. Everyone should follow you at .NETZIM. Spell it out, DOTNETZIM. Zach, thanks for joining me, and have a blast. I think you're going to enjoy the hell out of this experience, both the Cruiserweight Classic and going back to NXT at Full Sail.
I always enjoy going down to Full Sail and see some fun wrestling with some good friends. It's always a good time. So, yeah, and it's been a pleasure talking about it. We should do it more often.
And everybody, again, live coverage of the Cruiserweight Classic tonight at ProWrestling.net. And you can follow the brand online at ProWrestlingNet. And NXT coverage, for that matter, tonight as well. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we will talk to you again very soon. Take care.